he's going to have an amazing career in the NFL. I just know it. You know, there's some guys you just kind of know. He's one of them just based on his family, his background. It's going to be great. And I can't wait to watch. It's been so fun.
No, yeah. When I told him I was going to do this, he like freaked out. He was like, oh my God, are you really? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh my God, Christian's my guy. That's so cool. You're going to be on his last podcast. Like, so he's just honestly honored and like, you know, looks up to Christian so much. So thank you for having me, Lisa. And
oh, please. Oh my God.
It warms our hearts to just have like a sense of community already in the NFL before we've even gotten there. And it's just like, it just means the world.
Welcome to Your Mom.
Your Mom Podcast.
Your Mom's Podcast.
This isn't any podcast. This is your mother's podcast.
My Mom's Podcast.
Nah, dude, she's your mom.
With Ashley Addison and Lisa McCaffrey.
Your mom is a podcast.
Shut up, dude.
It's a big week for a lot of families. A stressful one, too, as we welcome you to another rousing edition of Your Mom. I'm Ashley Adamson.
And I'm Lisa McCaffrey.
The NFL Draft, Lisa.
Woo! NFL Draft 2023.
It's here. Kansas City is the place to be. It is crazy, though, because it is almost exactly 6 years ago, 6 years ago to the day that you were throwing a draft party in the house that you're sitting in right now for Christian. Totally cool, calm, collected, probably not a worry, just hanging out, probably just getting your nails done.
Yep. Sat down. I don't even remember what I wore. It was no big deal. Yep. Just 50 of our closest friends coming over for food. You know what I remember about that day more than anything was the cake. I had this amazing three-layered cake with every NFL team logo on the cake.
It's like when you talk about meeting Ed for the first time and the only thing you remember is a seven-layer cookie.
Totally. Yeah. Ed who? Uh-huh. Ed, there was a seven-layer cookie involved. That's all I know.
I remember that draft 2017. And for those who may or may not know, Christian McCaffrey went 8th overall to the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
And I can only imagine what that moment was like, because again, I'm removed from it and loved Christian, loved covering him. But I just think that the experience that a family has on draft night, especially when you get picked, because you don't really know, you guys didn't know, right?
No, you have no idea. You do it not is, know, and that's the truth. I mean, we did. Maybe the first pick might know, first and second, but after that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of guys and families that are going to have that feeling Thursday when the first round of the draft kicks off.
It's so fun to watch. It's just every draft pick and you see the families, they're all crying and I cry. I get so emotional. I'm such a dork. So that's the only thing I cry for. Nothing else. I'm just cold-hearted
other than that. Yeah. But the NFL draft, that is just like Lisa's love language.
I'm a really good person.
It is because it is the culmination, and you know this more than anybody, of so much work that has been poured into this dream. Yeah. And there's been so many people that have helped them along the way, and for it to finally, and it doesn't mean that getting drafted high equates to a successful NFL career. Obviously we know that, but it does help. And it is a moment in time for these guys. It validates what they have done. And it's obviously a night that the families won't forget. So I assume that everyone's turning into this podcast for Lisa's 7-round mock draft reveal. So should we kick that off? You've been working on it all offseason. I know you were going back and forth on some of those late 6-rounders. So have you?
Right. You want to start off with Mr. Irrelevant?
Now? Let's work backwards.
Every mom in America wants to hear about
every mom in America mom. Just turned it off, turned this podcast off.
They just ran off the road in their car. Like,
we're not going to do that, everybody. We're not going to do that. Keep listening. But we are going to talk about the draft in the best way that we know how, which is focus around family. And we are going to talk to one of the women who is squarely in the heat of emotion, the chaos, the excitement this week. And that would be Clarissa Robinson, the aunt, big sis, as it turns out, of Bijan Robinson. Most college football fans know that name. Total stud running back out of Texas. Wore number 5. I'm assuming because Christian McCaffrey wore number 5 in college. That's the only reason I can think. Not Reggie Bush. It was Christian for sure.
Reggie who?
But he was amazing. Anybody that watched him, his stats are ridiculous. 3,400 yards, 41 touchdowns in 3 seasons at Texas. He won the Doak Walker this past year. Which is the word given to the nation's top running back. And he's a special, special talent and an even more special human being, which you'll come to find out after you listen to this interview.
It has a great family behind him. Great family. Yep. And it's so fun. So we'll get to hear their story. And it's so good.
And with that, let's welcome in the one and only Clarissa Robinson. I know it is a stressful week. We just talked about all the emotion that goes into families. We always talk about the players, but the families are under a lot of stress. So Clarissa, first of all, welcome to your mom. It's awesome to have you on. I know we last asked you last minute and you also are joining us during what is like probably the craziest week of your life. So first and foremost, thank you for making space for this conversation. We appreciate it.
This should be, I want you to relax during this conversation and just sit back and this
put your feet up.
Easiest part of your week. Put your feet up and just relax and enjoy the conversation. You can vent. Tell us whatever you need to vent about, who's ever annoying you, whatever. Because I know
that you can cry.
Yeah. Cry, exactly. Laugh, cry, whatever you need. Let's go.
No, guys, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it's such an honor to be on here with you guys. Like, I can't say enough how much I'm just so happy to be here. So thank you guys so much for having me, seriously.
How are you doing? How are you doing, like, in this moment?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking, first of all. I'm good. Honestly, we are so blessed to be in this position. We're so blessed to be here in Kansas City at the draft. It's an honor for me to be able to walk alongside Bijan in a lot of this. So, you know, I get to see the ins and outs and the day to day of a lot of what happens and goes on. And it's just a blessing, honestly. We realize not everyone gets this opportunity. And we just, you know, we feel like God just like really just had this in the plan all along. It was evident all along Bijan's, you know, early years. And so just to finally be here is just incredible. And we're just so grateful and just, you know, it's going to be great.
I'm already crying.
No,
I'm so excited for you and for him. This is going to be great.
I think this is the first time I've seen Lisa cry in the podcast, and I'm not even kidding you.
I don't know why I just got emotional. It reminded me of back, you know, when we were going through it too. It is. It's so special. I'm telling you.
To be honest with you, I've been like on the verge of crying for the last like 3 weeks, but like there's so much to do that you just don't have time to. So like, the minute I stop to think about things, I start to cry. So you might get me, Lisa. You might get me.
Okay, good. That's our goal. Come on. Because you're his business manager as well.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. How did that come about?
Yeah. So, you know, Bijan and I are very close. We're only 9 years apart. So even though we're aunt and nephew, we're more like big sister, little brother. We grew up in a house together. He and my sister like lived with us in the house. And so like we've probably lived together most of our like our younger years. We were probably not living together for maybe like 4 or 5 years when I went off to college, and like he and his mom moved out for a little bit. So we're super close. We've always had the super close relationship. After I graduated from undergrad, I left home, Arizona, and moved to LA for a little bit. And at the time, Bijan is like, you know, going through and he's trying to figure out what school he's going to go to. And he does a visit at USC and UCLA. And he's like, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go. And I was like, well, don't just come to LA because I live here. Like, go where you feel is best for you. Because I realized like I was the first person to leave home. So I didn't want him to think like, oh, I should go where auntie is. And I was like, don't just come here because I'm here. I was like, you know, he had some schools he was looking at. One was Ohio State. And I was like, if you decide to go to Ohio State, you're on your own. I was like, but if you decide to go to Texas, I was like, I'd consider moving to Austin. And I just kind of said this probably very too quickly, because as soon as he committed to Austin or to Texas, he was like, so
let's go.
But it's worked out perfectly just because, you know, once NIL went into effect, which I'm sure we'll get into, like, you know, I had the skill set that he needed. And so he was like, auntie, whatever you can do, I want you to do it. Like, I don't want anyone else to do it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take care of you always. So we've been rocking ever since.
Yes, that is so special. I love that. And we are going to get to the NIL stuff because he's got some amazing deals, and we'll talk about that because it's a whole different stratosphere than when Christian was playing in college not too long ago. But just to pull back on you growing up in the same house, and there's been so many wonderful articles written about your family and Bijan's upbringing and his relationship with your dad, his grandfather, who was a wonderful Pac-12 official, long time umpire in the conference that I cover. So how would you describe, from what you remember growing up, the journey of your sister Lamore gets pregnant when she was in college, and basically the family said, hey, keep your scholarship, graduate, so move home with us in Tucson and raise Bijan there. Is that sort of the CliffsNotes version of how it all sort of started?
Totally. Yeah. We've always been a really, really close knit family. Like, you know, even growing up where it was just my sister and I and my parents, like we've just always been so close. There's not an event in the world. There's not a time in the world. There's not anything in the world that we would not show up for when it comes to the family. So the minute we found out that she was pregnant, we were like, move home. My parents wanted her home, wanted her close to home so that they could help her take care of this new child. And so she did that. And from the time Bijan was born up until maybe I want to say like his some elementary school years, they were in the home with us. And so we've just always been super tight knit, you know, bedrooms right across from one another and just all raised in the same household. We're also, you know, so heavy in our faith and, you know, active in going to church and like different events and different things for the family as well. So it's like everything we do together. So it's just easy. It's how we've always been.
I love that. And we should mention, by the way, that you are in Kansas City and the family's all there, right? You mentioned all being together. You guys are all in Kansas City right now?
We are all here. Yeah. Bijan and I got here yesterday and the family got here maybe an hour ago. So we are all here in Kansas City.
Oh, love it. Wow. What a special time. That's fantastic. Gosh. And you guys have been there from the beginning too. What did you know? When did you know he was something special? When did you know he's going to be amazing?
You know, growing up around football because of my dad's career, you know, you always see football, you watch football, you see some really great, you know, athletes out on the field and you get to witness so many cool things. But, you know, for us, it was just Bijan. It was Bijan doing what he loved. Like from the time he started playing when he was 5 years old, my dad, he wanted to play tackle football so bad when he was like four. From the time he was four, he's like, Dad, I want to play tackle. I want to play dad. He's talking about my dad. Dad, I want to play tackle. I want to play tackle. And my dad was always like, no, you're not playing tackle. You're too young. You're too young. And so finally he was like, when you turn five, I'll let you play tackle.
Wow.
And so he tells the story all the time. Like his first two, his first game ever, his first tackle football game ever, he actually got the ball and ran the opposite direction. So he ran into the opposite team's like end zone. And we were like, what are you doing? No, Bijan, the other way. And he actually did it twice before he got the hang of it. And, you know, once he got the hang of it, you know, the rest is history. Here we are.
He's five doing it. I'd be nervous if he was still doing that. But, you know, at five, it's okay. We'll forgive him.
That gives me hope for my six-year-old son who in his t-ball game went straight to third base on Saturday. So there's if he does it twice.
I could do that too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's easy to say, you know, the first couple of plays we were kind of like, I don't know.
The instincts aren't quite there like we thought they might be.
Hey, you know what? He scored. It was a safe score. He scored twice.
And now fast forward, and you know, I saw Robert Griffin III came out and said that Bijan Robinson is the best player in the draft this year, period. There are so many different projections. There's, you know, I've read a bunch of stuff about NFC teams being really vocal about not wanting Bijan to go to the Eagles because of how much more dangerous he'd be in our offense.
I want him to go way before their pick. Way before.
I just have to imagine, though. I mean, A, how much do you pay attention to that stuff and read it? Because I'm sure in some ways it's unavoidable. And B, what is it like to have watched, you know, you're basically your baby brother, your nephew, skyrocket and develop into this really, truly special talent who's about to live out his dream?
You know, I'll say like throughout the years when we go from peewee to high school to college and now to NFL, like it's like every time we get to a level in my head, like it's still the same Bijan. Like I call him B. I say, that's little old B. Like, oh, all these people are screaming for little old B. Wow, that's crazy. So it's like to see him graduate to these different levels has obviously been amazing. But it's not until we get to those levels and we realize like the audience and how much response he's getting around the world that it clicks to me. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, no, he's really doing a really big thing here. Like, because, you know, to me, he's still just Bijan. Like, I'm just go have fun. Go do your thing. And, you know, come home and be Bijan again. So it's like, it's moments like that when, you know, the greats are saying his name and, you know, you're hearing he's going so early in the draft, potentially. Like, it's moments like that you come back to like, oh my goodness, like, no, that's like, yeah, it's still a little Bijan, but like, he's doing some really great things in the world. And it just keeps you so proud, obviously. And when it comes to the team that he could go to, honestly, we have no idea.
I was going to ask you that. Do you have any inkling? You don't even have to say who, but do you have any gut feeling?
No, I wish I could tell you I did. Like I would, it would be.
I believe you. I know. Yeah. They don't want to tell. Even if they want to draft him, they don't like to give away any secrets, any team.
Not a thing. So literally anything can happen. And obviously, like just all the uncertainty can be a tad bit stressful, especially for me in my position. Like I want to be able to prepare our lives and make sure that like I can, you know, figure out where we're going to live and start to like put things in motion from that end. So in my position, it can be a little bit stressful, but also like just managing that stress and managing my own expectations of like what's coming next. The best thing to do is just to stay in the moment and continue to believe that wherever God sends him, like, is going to be the perfect place for him.
Where it's meant to be.
And, you know, we just wait for the day. So to answer your question, no, I don't look at a lot of media. You know, there, every now and then I see him trending on Twitter. But, you know, I see it, and sometimes I'll like look at one or two, and then I'm like, no. But Bijan's the same way. He doesn't look at a lot of media. We don't look at what the people are saying. Sometimes it's good. Most of the time it's good. You can get a couple that are like,
of course, you're always going to get that no matter what. So yeah, just read the good.
We don't read a lot of media.
Smart. You guys are way ahead of the game compared to what I was going through, because I'd read the bad and focus on the bad, but I've learned my lesson. You guys are good. Do you have a preference? And you don't have to say where it is. Do you have a team you want him to go to?
So coming from Tucson, Arizona, and then moving to LA, and then moving to Austin, you know, I am a city girl, so I like big cities. For me personally,
and it's easier to market him in a big city too.
Absolutely. Obviously, you know, he has his condiment line, Bijan Mustardson. So there's like, obviously we're thinking, okay, if he goes here, we could do this with the mustard. If he goes there, we can do that with the mustard. But to be honest with you, I really have no preference. I believe that God has a plan, and it's going to be great.
And you have the best tagline for the mustard
ever.
I mean, seriously, it's ready. You want to,
First of all, and this is, again, he got a Lamborghini NIL deal, which we'll talk to, but to me, like the mustard,
I want a shirt.
How many bottles of Bijan, and it's Bijan Mustardson, do you have in your pantry? Like, or how is Bijan Mustardson a major part of your life?
It's absolutely a major part of my life. To be honest with you, I eat it on a day-to-day basis. Like, it's not just for the hype. I probably have 3 in my refrigerator right now. That's because one gets like just a little bit empty. So I just like move on to the next and like bring it, get another one. I mean, I put it on everything. Sandwiches. I make salad dressings on a day-to-day basis with Bijan mustard. Like, it's actually good mustard, guys. I actually have some here in my room. Like, because we're going to give people, like, I have hats and mustard sitting on the table right here. Like,
a good manager right there.
Because it's,
quote, and go ahead, Lisa.
It's cool. I got to get this out. It's like a touchdown in your mouth. Bam. The best tagline ever. Makes me want to go buy some right now. And my husband just, you know, has a mustard line as well here in Denver, and has had it ever since he's played. And we're old. He's really old. So, but I used to tell the people, here's another little marketing play, that if you use Ed McCaffrey's mustard, the Broncos will win. Which is, as soon as you don't use it, that's when they lose. So they haven't been using it a lot lately, obviously. So let's get the mustard sales up.
I can't imagine that he has a tagline, though, that is good.
No, I was just going to say, that's his downfalls. He doesn't have that tagline. It's like a touchdown in your mouth. It's so good.
Who came up with that tagline?
Okay, so we have two guys. Their name are Craig and David. They work for an agency called Callen, and they are the ones who came to Bijan and presented this whole Bijan Mustardson idea. Okay. They came up with the tagline. Now, I will give you guys some inside scoop. I was so against that tagline when they first presented it to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I got my hands on a bottle and I called them up and I was like, guys, it's like a touchdown. What? Like, what is this? And, you know, like me, the like, quote unquote, mama bear in me was kind of like, I don't know, guys, is this a little too risky? Is this a little too?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, you know, they told me, they were like, no, we think this is going to be great. That's, you know,
it's memorable. It's
explained it to, like, and I was like, all right, guys, you guys are the pros. I'm going to run with it. Let's go. And thank God it has been so good ever since.
It's so fun. I love
so
it.
So good.
Love it.
We're going to link to the, to the touchdown in your mouth, Bijan mustard.
We're going to do it. I'm going to make Ed do a taste test. I'm going to have his mustard and your mustard. We'll see which one's better.
There we go.
And then can we talk about the Lambo NIL deal?
Come on.
Go. Who got him the NIL Lamborghini deal? Come on. So just, you know, Christian, we had to pay for like a bike when he first got to Stanford. And the first week he was there, it got stolen. So first year he had no ride. Nope. Nothing. No way.
There were no butterfly doors.
He walked no butterfly's door on that campus. No, it was, times were different, but way back then. So congrats. That's amazing. I know. I love the NIL. I think, and I love when people benefit from it. So how did that come about? A Lambo.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing about Bijan is he's so personable. He's so good with relationships. And it just so happened that the owner of Lamborghini Austin, his name is Bruce Knox. He's one of our partners and a really, really good friend as well. He was at an event and Bijan actually ended up meeting him. They hit it off. They started having conversations and, you know, he learned who Bijan was or Bijan learned who he was. And they kind of sat down, had a great conversation. And he was like, you know, we could really do an NIL deal. And Bruce was like, actually, we should do that. And about a week later, they signed and handed him the keys to a Lamborghini. God,
that is so amazing. Good. Amazing. I love it.
Have you ever driven it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Nice.
I am just, yeah. Meanwhile, Christian's with like, you know, a bike that got stolen and he's, you know, walking on campus. It was different times only, what, 6-7 years ago. I got to ask you though, Clarissa, because you mentioned this before we started recording of your role as manager and aunt/big sister. You're wearing multiple hats, right? And I think that probably for you personally, being able to navigate, and this week in particular is probably the culmination of all of that, where you're so excited and it's such a special time for your family and for you, but you also have a whole nother role and job to do. So how have you kind of learned on the job how to manage all of that together?
Yeah, you know, like I told you guys earlier, when NIL went into effect, Bijan was just like, Auntie, whatever you can do, I want you to do it. Like, whatever it is, you do it. And so one, I don't take that lightly. Just because I am his aunt, I don't expect for him to trust me in that way. So I don't take that lightly and I never want to betray that trust. So I'm always very careful with how I handle. Obviously, you know, he has some huge opportunities here. And so I want to make sure one, that he is very conscious and mindful of like the opportunities that have been presented to him. But also want to make sure that I'm teaching him along the way and showing him like, hey, this is what you would expect from someone in my position, not just because I'm your auntie, but like, this is what you expect from a manager. And so it's been really fun to like have that learning dynamic in NIL. But yeah, you know, it's good. A lot of the stuff that I would do, I've been doing a lot of our lives. A lot of the stuff that I do, it's second nature because we're so close and we share everything with one another. We're really like best friends. So it's like, it makes the job a lot easier. But one thing that really makes the job a lot easier is Bijan's character and who he is as a person. You know, I a lot of my colleagues will tell me, you know, you really got it easy with Bijan. It's as easy to work with as Bijan is. And so he really makes my job easy. Even, you know, when we're getting deals like a Lamborghini, you just never know, like for a young guy, like what is that going to do to him? And like, how is that going to change his perspective? And like, yes, we have a great foundation. Faith is super, super important to him. But you just still don't know. Like you still don't know when he gets his hands on things and when he is given these platforms and has exposure to so many things, you just don't know what's going to happen. But Bijan's been incredible and just keeping the main thing, and just, you know, keeping his faith the first thing, and everything he does for God. You know, he told me one day, he said, I want a really big platform, but I want it all just to give glory back to God and to lead people back to God. And so as an aunt, as a manager, that's my mission, to help him do that. And so when I sit down at my desk every single day and start answering emails, or and when things get overwhelming and I'm like stressed a little bit, I just remember like what that mission is, and it just makes it all worth it.
I have chills right now. That is.
He's going to, yeah, that's yeah. Amazing.
You're making Lisa cry again. Second time now. We've never, 41 episodes in, she's never cried. Now she's cried.
No, here I am. I know. But he's so lucky to have you to be able to do that and manage NILs, because no college kids is prepared for NIL and what's thrown at them. And what a blessing that you are put in his life for this reason, to help manage him. And I know he does appreciate it, because all I've heard about is how humble and hardworking he is. So I know he does, but really there's a reason that you're there and in place and helping him. So God bless you and God bless him. So yeah, I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. And it's so fun to watch you guys as a tight-knit family go through this too. It reminds me of how we sort of did it, but we didn't have these big NIL things in our way. So good work. Good work, Auntie.
Good work, Auntie.
Yes, for real. Great work.
Do you have advice in that vein? Because I second everything that Lisa just said. I think it's so hard for people, and it's the Wild West right now, right? Like there aren't real guardrails around NIL and all of the stuff that's going on. People are figuring out on the fly. And I think there's a lot of unintended consequences, even though it's an amazing opportunities. And I think it's, I love seeing it happen. Do you have advice for parents or kids who are navigating the NIL space? Because there's a lot of stuff out there that I think is not accurate, and not every kid is Bijan Robinson and is going to get his own mustard line or a Lambo deal. But what would you say is something that you kind of wish that you had known, or that would be helpful as parents and kids try to navigate this?
Yeah, I think, you know, something, it definitely should be said about, you know, NIL, though Bijan has a, you know, his own condiment line and he got deals with Lamborghini, like it was still very tough for us to navigate. He's obviously blessed with some really great opportunities, but as an aunt, and, you know, I had already been living in Texas and I was really close to Bijan, you know, living in Austin with him, it was still very difficult, because one thing that some people may or may not understand is, yes, there's no real guardrails. There's no real like rules or guidelines to how NIL should operate. So it is the Wild Wild West, and so much happens on a day-to-day basis, but also, you know, in Texas and in other states as well, the school cannot be involved with the NIL dealings. And so, you know, the school tried to prepare the guys as much as possible, like what to expect before NIL went into effect. But, you know, there was still so much like, what do we do? Like, but what do we do? And, you know, they couldn't really hold our hand in that, because, you know, they
weren't allowed,
to be in that part of the player's life. So, you know, NIL goes into effect, and all of a sudden I have so many, I want to say maybe like, if I gave you a number, 25 to 30 different agents, financial advisors, so many people calling my phone asking to get a hold of Bijan Robinson. And it's like, who are you, first of all? Like, who are you? What's your name? And all of a sudden, I'm supposed to say yes, and I'm supposed to trust you with my nephew and some, and the closest person to me overnight. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and it was a really, really challenging season, because there's so much that you don't know. There's so many questions that you don't know to ask. You know, you want to vet these people out, but you don't know what to ask.
Right. And the school's not able to help. That's what I remember. I'm like, wow, they can't even help, you know, eliminate people or bring people in that they trust. So
right.
That
was hard. They can't guide you in the right direction. You know, they have to kind of be hands off. So, you know, it was a really, really difficult time. To be honest with you, when I didn't know in my head, I had to just lean on my faith and say, God, I feel like this is a decision that we should go towards. Me and Bijan would, you know, sit down and deliberate and say, like, you know, who's the best personality match? Who do you feel like you have the best relationship with? What experience does this person have? Like, you're trying to figure it out as best you can. But like I said, in those moments, we leaned on our faith so much just to see, like, you know, God, where would you have for us to go? And it really worked out for us, because we landed in the hands of some really great people who helped guide us along the way. But I realized that everyone doesn't have that opportunity. Everyone doesn't have the opportunity to have an agent or a financial advisor, you know, a full team of people.
Or to pick, like, what a treat where you were able to vet people and pick the best. Yeah. There. Some people are just begging people for agents and begging people for financial advice. So that's kind of nice that you did have, you were able to pick the best.
Absolutely. And for the
best fit,
who don't necessarily have those opportunities, I just say, educate yourself as much as you possibly can. Yeah. Bijan and I try to lend ourselves to, you know, other individuals who don't have the same opportunities to say, like, hey, this is a process we went through. This is, you know, what you want to look forward to. This is what you want to look out for. Like, you know, we try to lend ourselves as much as possible. I myself, as a family member, try to lend myself to other families. Hey, this is what your son is walking into. This is what you want to be mindful of. But just do your research as much as you possibly can. Move slower than quick. You know, sometimes there's opportunities that come that seem like a great, you know, thing, but always vet them out as best you can. Even if you don't have a financial advisor or agent, call a colleague, you know, call a friend who may be a lawyer. Like, there's ask questions and just do your best to make sure that you really vet things out before you say yes. And not every opportunity is a good opportunity. So just take your time in it and lean on your faith if you believe, like I did.
Regarding your marketing deals, did you pursue them or did they fall in your lap?
There are some. So we have a really, really great marketing agent. His name is Brian Burney. There's some that he went out and definitely got for
us. You couldn't get a marketing agent when he was still playing, could you? Before he
yes,
declared? Exactly. You did. You are allowed to do that now. Oh, okay. That's news to me. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that helps.
Yes. So on the agent side, obviously you have like your contract advisor for the NFL, and then you have a marketing agent. The marketing agent can help you with your NIL deal.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were able to have that. And he went out and got some really, really great deals for us, but we also had some that came naturally as well, like the Lamborghini, and Bijan just like being so good and personable with the relationships, that people just wanted to work with him.
That's great.
What's been the hardest thing you've had to navigate as his manager?
I would say just not knowing, you know, the lack of knowledge in certain areas, and just having to trust certain individuals with, you know, my nephew. I'm so grateful that we have a team that has proven that we can trust them. But I would say, you know, just, you know, exposing individuals that I just met maybe a couple weeks ago at some time, like, to his private information and like trusting them, that can be the hardest part. But again, I leaned on my faith, and God showed me the best way to handle situations, and it proved to be good. So I'm really happy to say that.
Tell us about your faith, Clarissa, because I obviously it's so foundational to who you are and to who Bijan is. What was it like when you think about growing up in your house? I imagine that your parents, that was a big part of your family and your upbringing. And so how would you kind of describe that journey and the role that it played with your family?
Yeah. You know, our relationship with God is just embedded in who we are as people. Bijan and I and his mom and, you know, all of us were all raised in a church. My parents raised all of us in a church. They were raised in churches. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it goes back far and many generations. Like, we've always been heavy in the church and just really lean on God in every single aspect of our lives. So, you know, I've had people tell me sometimes, like, God, he talks about God in like every single one of his videos or every one of his interviews. And it's like, you know, is he really that good of a kid? Like, does he really? I'm like, yeah, like, you know, he talks about it just because that is embedded in who he is. He can't help it. Like, there's not, and it's also in his day-to-day practice. Like, you know, before every single game, we're on a family FaceTime having family prayer. Before we go into like really big meetings, before I drop him off he's getting ready to go travel, we pray before he gets out the car. Like, it's just embedded in who he is. And, you know, our relationship with God has shown up in so many, you know, really hard times. And we wouldn't lean on anything else because it's just proven to be, you know, the best thing that has ever happened to us. And we love God. That's just who we are.
Yeah, that's great.
And you can tell, and I love that. It's like, he's not saying that in those interviews so he can get another mustard deal. Like, it's so yeah. clear that it is foundational to who he is, and that it's the fabric of your family, which I really admire. I got to ask you about your relationship with your sister, Lamour. Yeah. And I know she's out there right now, and her and Bijan's relationship, like, how would you describe it right now?
Yeah. Like I said, we're all super, super close. My sister, she has blessed me with the best nieces and nephews. And my sister's 11 years my senior. So, you know, okay. There's 11 years between her and I, and then 9 years between me and Bijan. So it's really just like, you know, one big happy family. But since she's 11 years my senior, I was always the auntie. You know, she's blessed me with some amazing children who I love and am so close to. But herself, like, you know, it's just been so amazing, you know, to see what she's produced in a Bijan and how we raise him together, really, like, and help, you know, hold his hand along life has just been so amazing. And she's an incredible human, incredible individual, incredible mom. She puts her life on the line all the time for her children. And like, I just can't say enough good things about her. She's incredible.
Wow. I want to hear about the relationship between Bijan and your dad, mm-hmm. His granddad, who he calls dad, who was, as we said earlier, Pac-12 referee for, what, 3 decades. Right. And I read somewhere that he wasn't able to go to all of his games, but he'd watch film on them and they talk about it and describe their relationship and how that evolved.
Yeah, you know, they're super close. With my sister and I, you know, my dad was the only man in the house, and obviously he loves us to death, but when a boy came along, he was happy about it.
Thank goodness.
He wasn't outnumbered in the house anymore, so he was super happy about that. But also, you know, all of our lives, like with my dad and his officiating career, like, we've always, he's traveled every weekend, you know, every Saturday we're trying to find his games on TV and making sure we tape them. So when he comes home, like he sees them and we watch them and we say, there's dad. Like, you know, my sister and I always just so excited to see him. So we've been around football all of our lives. But then, you know, when Bijan came along and now he is a part of that football and we're going to all of his games, Bijan is just always around football. And, you know, it's funny. My dad was doing an interview the other day and they asked him, like, if you weren't in the profession that you were in, do you think Bijan still would have been that passionate about football? And our answer was yes, because, you know, one or two years old, like, he's still holding a football, like, you know, and that athleticism that's in him, we feel like it would have come out anyway, you know, in some way, shape or form. But we were just always around the game. And so Bijan growing up, seeing my dad just along with like me, my sister and I, we would say, there's dad. And here's Bijan at a 5-year-old, there's dad, like at his game when he's running out on the field. But I do believe that it just made his love for the game that much stronger because of the bond that he had with my dad. And my dad had an understanding for the game that Bijan was so passionate about and just wanted to learn. And so it just made his love for the game that much stronger. And then once he was old enough to be able to play and my dad finally let him play tackle football, now my dad's teaching him things and he's like, all right, you want to hold the football like this and hold the football everywhere you go, make sure you don't drop that football, you know. And if you ever watch Bijan like playing catch, I was watching him the other day actually, he was we were out at the Whiteman Air Force Base here in Kansas City where he got to do some stuff with USAA. And he was playing catch with one of the pilots. And I was just watching him just sitting back. And when he's catching the ball, he's like watching it to his hands, like every single time he catches it. And it reminded me when he was 2 years old or 3 years old. And my dad is saying, watch the ball to your hands. So you see that come out even now that, you know, here he is 21 years old, headed to the NFL, like that
ingrained in his,
it's that really
fabric of him,
really shaped who he is. And it's just so beautiful.
How is your dad doing this week? Because I can't imagine the emotions that he's also feeling.
You know, he is so excited. Yeah. He is so excited. He's so proud. Obviously, he's, you know, reffed a lot of games for some of the greats, including Christian, I'm sure.
By the way, that wasn't a penalty.
I'm sure Lisa's probably yelled
at. That was not a holding call. Why'd you take his touchdown back? Where's Cleo? I want to talk to him right now.
Yeah, right. I need to go get him on the phone, right?
Yeah, for real.
But no, he's obviously been able to witness so many great careers. And so now for his grandson to be a part of that is just... He's at a loss for words. He is so excited and just couldn't be more proud, especially not just who he is on the field, but who he is off the field, and the character that he's maintained along the process makes him just so proud.
I got to tell you, I imagine, and I know that there's plenty of diehard Texas football fans who are going to be listening to this, who just absolutely love your nephew. His career as a Longhorn and those 3 years that he spent there and all the things that he did, the highlights that he put up, is there one play or moment that sits like kind of sticks in your mind as one that you're always going to remember, that's like that one highlight that just comes to mind immediately that you'll think of?
You know, there's been so many that, like, you know, anytime he's out on the field and I'm watching him, I'm amazed. I'm like, how did he do that? And it's like, I've been watching him all of his life and he's been doing it all of his life, but still to this day, I'll watch some certain plays and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, how did he do that? One that does stick out to me though, I believe it was his sophomore year, the Red River Showdown. He had this breakout play. He's stiff arming, the guy flips over, like, it's just insane. And
highlight.
Yeah. And I just, you know, you watch it and you hear the crowd's reaction and you're just like, I saw that with my eyes, but then when you hear everyone's reaction, you're like, you have a whole nother elevated like response. You're like, oh my goodness, like what just happened? Was that Bijan? Oh my God, that was Bijan! Like, you know, like it's just, you can't describe the feeling, but like I said, there's so many plays, but that one in particular, I will always see in my head, just replay.
I love it. Every now and then I'll think of a play that like Christian in particular have had, and I'll go back and if I ever get to watch it, sometimes I won't even watch what he's doing, but I'll watch the crowd in the background. And that is so fun to do. You'll see their faces and just see how, you know, various reactions, but how either amazed and excited, or if it's the opposing team, like mad. And go back one day and watch some of his highlights and look at the people behind him. Those are kind of fun. I started doing
totally, especially when you see the other, like the home, like your home team sideline, you'll see them react and like they just get all of a sudden they like see this reaction as it happens and you're like, oh my God, like that was such a moment. And then also one that also stands out is his last home game at Texas. to hear 105,000 fans yelling Bijan, Bijan. Oh my goodness. I'll never forget it. I will never forget it.
Good.
That is so special. And Lisa, I love what you said about watching the crowds or even closing your eyes when you talk about that moment and just listening to them, because I was, and I told Lisa the story the other day, this past weekend, I was at an event downtown here in San Francisco, and there was a woman who went to Stanford, and I sat next to her, and she's a huge Stanford football fan, and she just loves Christian McCaffrey.
She's the one Stanford football fan.
I found the Stanford football fan.
It's not Texas.
she said, I will just, and I was telling her, you know, what I do in our connection, and she was so excited, and she said, I just have to tell you, when I would watch Christian play, and I know people feel this way about Bijan as well, she said, it was like the biggest treat. It was just every Saturday, it was such a treat for me, because you could tell that you were watching greatness, and there's no other way to describe it. And it was a total gift to me to think, like, I can't believe this young man plays for our program. And it was, as someone who has Christian, and yeah, it was basically, I was going to say, he's like my nephew. Can I call Christian's yes. my nephew? Yeah.
He doesn't have an aunt.
Like his big sister. Yeah. Okay, great. There we go. But I do think the impact, and you know it, but to get those specific stories of these people who will never probably meet him and who he's truly impacted by the way he's played. I think it is so special, and the unbelievable impact that both of those young men have had and are having and will have on young people who want to play, the different things that they pour themselves into away from football. Like, I just commend your families, both of you, because it does matter. And yeah, it is sports, and they get paid a lot, and Bijan's going to get paid a lot to play football, but it is so much more than that. And I think that is what is so special about sports. So I will get off my soapbox now and leave it at that. But I just think it's really, really special, and I hope you guys feel it.
No, yeah, I will say there's nothing like the Texas Longhorn fans. I mean, they truly, truly bleed burnt orange. And, Austin, Texas Longhorns, you know, in specifically, it's like their professional football team, because they don't have one in Austin. And they just, the history behind the Texas programs is just like so rich, and they love Texas football especially. And, you know, we would have fans come up and be like, you know, thank you so much for bringing Bijan to Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they would say, you know, thank him. Just tell him thank you. Just tell him thank you. We are just so grateful that he decided to come to Texas. And the hospitality that we received when we first got to Austin and have been there for now 3 years, I can't tell you like what you experience in that city. And Bijan has made it his mission to give back to the community mm-hmm. as much as possible. You know, obviously they don't have a professional team, so we're headed out of Austin here soon, but he will always have a foot down in Austin, because they're just, there's nothing like the Longhorn fans.
I will second that. And I will also say, I hope you corrected all those fans that were saying, tell him thank you. And I hope you say, well, you should thank me, because I was the one that planted the seed to get him to go to Austin.
Yeah,
so you're welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You have been so generous with your time, and we could sit here and talk to you for another 3 hours probably, but we won't, because I know you've got, I'm sure, a bunch of stuff. Real quick. Oh yeah, go ahead, Lisa. I've got one last thing.
You have your dress for Thursday.
That was going to be my question. What are you wearing?
I gotta know. So wait, real quick, let me. We didn't go to the draft. We had a big party here at the house. We mulled back and forth, and my husband Ed had like a little bit of a sour taste in his mouth from his draft. He was projected higher and went lower. Granted, he was sitting in the living room of his college dorm room, so it wasn't like it is today. But he thought he'd go higher. He didn't. So we were afraid for Christian that if he got there and he was going to go lower, because we didn't know where he was going to go. So we opted to stay here at the house with all of our close friends, all of our close family, the brothers, everything. And so we stayed here. So I didn't have like the dress and do all this stuff. But I always, so I remember talking to Martha Thomas, Solomon Thomas. Thomas's mom was about her outfit, and that so it was so fun. That was just such a fun time. Anyway, do you have a dress? What color is it? What are you gonna preview on the red carpet? Go.
So to be honest with you, I've been so focused on Bijan that I come a little last. So I have a friend who's a stylist, and she helps me put my outfits together and stuff. And she has been blowing me up for the last 3 weeks. What are we doing? And to be honest with you, I've just been like so in the weeds, just preparing Bijan and the family for drafts. So I don't think it's going to be like a show-stopping outfit, but you know,
you're going to look hot. You'll look hot. You will.
I will look nice, but you know, and to be honest with you, they actually just knocked on my door about an hour ago and delivered it. That's how to the last minute I've been. But wow. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Bijan's going to get drafted and it's going to be totally fine.
Good. I love it.
What's he going to wear? I know you can't, I know that's not a thing that you can really give away, but does he have a good?
Yes. He has a great suit. You guys will not be disappointed. He's going to look phenomenal. I can attest.
Good. Oh, I love it. Have you played in your mind what that moment is going to be like? Like, have you allowed yourself to go there and kind of think what it's going to be like when he hears his name?
To be honest, we have an amazing agent, Nicole Lynn, with Clutch Sports. Oh, wow. And she has done so much. She's also her and I have a really great relationship. We're really close. And she has tried to prepare me as much as possible. She's like, you're going to lose your mind. She's like, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to be the most anxious filled day of your life. Like, it's going to be insane. So she's tried to prepare me for the moment, but I just know, like I told you guys earlier, like I have been a wreck for the last 3 weeks, like leading, not even 3 weeks. I would say really since he declared 3 months ago, like I have just been like, oh my goodness, we're actually about to do this. And tears keep trying to come out, but like, I'm just so busy that they don't. I have a feeling on draft night, it's all coming out.
You need to let it out. Yeah.
Because I am going to be emotional. I know it.
Good. And you should be, because you have been such a big part of his journey and his story. And he is where he is in part, no question, because of you. So feel all of it, cry it, let it go in your hot dress, whatever one you're wearing. And I'm just so excited for you. Lisa, I'll let you have the last word, given that you've been through, you mentioned your experience with Ed and the experience with Christian. Is there any advice or anything you would want to tell Clara says she gets ready for what is going to be one of the most memorable nights, however it all goes down?
Yeah, I kind of feel like she's being given the perfect advice. All I would say is just truly take it in, savor it, enjoy it, soak it, be in the moment, just like you said. I think you're so ready. Just listening to you, I'm so excited for you, for him, for your family. I know it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to watch him run out on the field in an NFL game in an NFL uniform for the first time, because I know he's going to do amazing things on and off the field, and I can't wait to watch his journey. So I'm a fan, and let's go. It's going to get me started.
Here I go. It's coming. I feel it.
I'm crying too. I'm like, I know this is so such a great moment. It'll be nothing like.
I appreciate it honestly so much. And like, it just, like I said, it just means the world to be able to lean on people who have been here before, who have done it. So yeah. I don't take this for granted. I'm so grateful that you guys have asked me to be on this. Like, you guys are doing incredible things with this podcast as well. So mm-hmm. I'm just honored to be a guest.
Thank you.
You are amazing. It was truly our honor and our privilege to have you on. Enjoy the next few days. And I mean, just soak it all in, as Lisa said, and we will be watching. There will be no one that I'll be cheering for harder on Thursday. So, and we will definitely meet you in person at some point, wherever it lines up.
It has to happen.
Well, the only glitch is, the only negative about this is, so my youngest son plays for Rice and we open up with the Longhorns next year. So whatever the Longhorns is, I don't know. I feel like every time I do this, I feel like I'm like wishing somebody the devil on someone. I don't know how to do it right, but they open up with Rice. They open up with the Longhorns.
Well, I need to make it a point to be that game. Regardless of what happens, I gotta hug you.
Yes, that would make me happy. We will connect for sure.
And if you need anything, you call Lisa. She will get you set up with all the right things. Because I do think it's been really cool for me to see through this podcast the network of families and moms, and you know, no one understands what it is like to have a loved one who plays on this stage unless you've got one. And I think that's been the really cool thing that I've seen, is there is a sisterhood and kind of a fraternity, sorority, whatever you want to call it, of family members. And it's special and it's cool to see. So you're part of that now.
Yes. Love it. Yes. Thank you guys so much.
Good luck and enjoy it all.
Save it. Go get them.
I mean, I know he can't go to the 49ers and we wouldn't want him to, because there's already a great running back or two that play for them, but holy cow.
But he would be a blast to play with, and she would be a blast to sit in the stands with.
She's amazing.
I love her. Yeah.
I love her.
Wow. Yeah, me too.
And I just manager
everything. Yeah. Like she said, she wears so many hats and she's doing an incredible job. I have not heard one bad thing about that kid. Normally, my gosh, I'm sure you heard a lot of bad things about Christian coming out of the draft. That kid has
so many
stellar
red flags. My character issues with Christian was the main thing.
Lots of red flags with Christian.
That's why I slipped to number 8.
Yeah. Is got it all. And he's just going to have an amazing career. And he's got a great family to back him. Yeah. And I can't wait to watch it.
Well, and I think two things really stood out to me. One, and I know we joked about it, but I'm serious. Seeing you tear up right at the beginning when you were just thinking about that night. That was a moment. It really was. And
I feel like such a dork.
No, it was awesome. And yeah. I think it's a reminder of how special and emotional these times are. And you know, in your mind, when you're going through something like that, that this is a moment in time, but it is so hard to actually fully feel it and embrace it because there's a million things going on. So right. It was cool for me to watch you talk with her and give that advice. I just absolutely loved it. And I also really love that when she first shows up and she's saying how totally pumped and excited Bijan is that he's coming on Christian McCaffrey's mom podcast. That made me laugh so hard.
I can't believe he knows his name. I'm like, because we've been, I mean,
John Robinson knows Christian McCaffrey's name. That
that's pretty cool. Christian's made it officially.
Christian's made it.
And I haven't watched every Longhorn game. Obviously, we've been a little preoccupied, but the few times I've been able to watch clips here and there, regardless of off field, on the field, he is a talent. He is so good. He's going to make some team better. And I just hope it's not the Eagles. Sorry, Eagles, everyone, but I hope it's some team in the AFC.
I'm kind of speechless. I'll say the last thing on that. The other thing that stood out to me was when we finished the interview with her and she was talking about her purpose. Cause you were saying, and I agree with this, she should go do this as a career. Right now she's managing Bijan, but she's got a big career waiting her if she wants it.
If she wants. And I think she could just help so many young men.
And the time is right. Right. Like, and she was saying that she always knew that her purpose had something to do with helping young Black men, that she felt called in that way. And the line that will stick with me forever is when she said to Bijan, when she kind of fully realized the opportunity that she had to help him and to support him in this way, was that she told him, "You opened the door for me to unlock my purpose."
Yeah.
And if there isn't a stronger sentence that you could ever say to anybody, I don't know what is. So absolutely. I just think it's a beautiful relationship. It doesn't happen. It's one of the things I love about your family, how tight knit you guys are and how you look out for each other. It's not that way in every family. Right. And I think it's so special when it is. Yes.
So I do appreciate that. And I know they do too. So yeah, God bless them. And
I'm going to be cheering for them.
Me too.
Can't wait. Form hard. I know. All right. Well, enjoy the draft, everybody. And just think about all of the families who are having the best day or potentially the opposite of their lives. There's a lot of other people than the players. I'm excited for everybody. And truly, this is a special time. So that was our draft preview. I think this is the thing. Mock drafts are BS. Like, we don't need to do mock drafts. We just need to have the family members of the people who love and support these people come on. That's what we should do.
Our mom draft, she's going to be up there.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. I mean, you cried twice. This is like, this has to maybe be the best. Like, I thought you had like a cold stone heart. And now
I haven't cried yet.
I thought you were a pod person. And yet here you are crying.
What's wrong with me? I know.
All right. Well, thank you as always for listening. And we have a terrific month of May set up that we are going to kick off with
our month
content. It is our month. Bonnie Bernstein, the great, is going to join us next week. So be sure to tune in for that. She's got an amazing story, and her mom, who is absolutely epic.
Lois
from Brooklyn, New York is.
Oh. She's so good.
She is so good. So that's good. And we got a lot of good stuff coming, including, as we have mentioned, interviews with both of our mothers that you should not miss. Lisa, I love you. Enjoy the draft.
Thank you. You too. Go team. Beat the other team.
Go team. Go your mom.
This is one where you just root for the kids, which is nice.
Exactly. As long as they're not going to the Eagles.
Right. Or anyone in our division. None of the good players. They should all not have first round picks. Just go to the AFC.
Go to the AFC.
Honestly, over there. Go.